Good. How's everyone this morning? Had a good week? Are you sure? Doesn't sound like it, does it? Well, we should have a good week, right? I was thinking about the grads, and I was thinking about, they reminded me of my years in school, and I failed 4 years of school. Can you imagine that? I went into grade 11 because I moved to a different promise, and I had to finish up all those grades plus the two to finish my grade 12. Can you imagine doing 6 years of schooling in two? And then in Alberta, they made you take a distance ed course as well as part of your curriculum, so I had to take that as well. And then I went on and finished 4 years of university and went on to a carpentry career and then Bible school. So young people, it's never over. Learning is a lifetime. Remember that. And remember always to put whom first? Put Jesus first in everything you do. You may fall, stumble, but he's always there to hold you and walk with you. Take him with you throughout your life. Amen? That's a challenge. And you'll never regret it. So this morning I want to talk about a better taste of salt. And that's what I want to look at this morning. Now, sound people and the one that's running the overhead, I might take some verses out, so be prepared when I say skip, all right? Just let you know, all right? That's just what it's going to be. I'm going to just read a few scriptures that from God's Word, Matthew 5:13. It doesn't matter if you got your Bibles or your iPads or phones, anyways, electronic devices. Matthew 5:13 says, "You're the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless." And over in Mark chapter 9, verse 50. "Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? You must have the qualities of salt among yourselves and live in peace with each other." And then over in Luke chapter 14, in verses 34 to 35, "Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good for neither for soil nor for fertilizer. It is thrown away. Anyone who's willing to hear should listen and understand." And Father, we thank you for your word. It's just amazing what you have in it and what it teaches us. And yes, it'll guide us through life every step of our way. So be with us this morning as I speak. And for those that are listening, that you give them open hearts and open minds. And just be with me as I speak and speak for you. In thy name, amen. This week I got a phone call. I don't remember if it's Tuesday or Wednesday, a message. And I was asked if I could speak this Sunday. And I'm on a job site working. And I didn't even give any hesitation. As soon as I got it, I said, sure. Because as believers and Christians, as we disciples of Jesus Christ, we are prepared to give an answer. And we're prepared to speak his word at all times. In fact, the founder of Prairie Bible Institute, our Bible college now, L.E. Maxwell, used to say, if you're a Christian, prepare to preach, pray, or die. He always told his students that. All right? Keep that in your mind. So always prepared to give a word. Prepare to pray. Maybe die to yourself and your desires for his in your life. So let's be honest. This world and its systems are corrupt. Can you actually say yes to that? And they're decaying, all falling apart. And many of them are opposed to the things of God. We all know that. Don't have to look very far, but that is taking place today. And because this world is opposed to God, do not be surprised that we have an enemy who's going to throw lots of stuff onto our path and is going to attack us as we walk with God. And this world is ruled by our enemy, Satan. However, let me just tell you, limited. God's got him on a leash. So there are times he has to go to him and ask, can I touch so-and-so? Can I touch? God is his creator. Therefore, he has to answer to him. So remember that. And of course, because Satan is our enemy, he just hates everything about us. He doesn't want us to succeed, doesn't want us to walk in the light or to be the salt of the world as well. So my question to you is, what kind of people are we to be today as we live in this world that is so corrupt? I got little things all mixed up this morning. Putting everything together, it looks like I missed a few things. But anyways, my question is, what kind of people are we to be as Christians? And Jesus used salt and light as metaphors to show how we as Christians are to impact our world for him. He summarizes our function and what we are to do in our worlds today. Because we need to understand the function of the salt and the light. And of course, we must understand the condition of the world that we live in. And I've already said that the world is what? Corrupt? We find that in Romans 8, verses 20 to 21. For the creation was subject to frustration not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God, ate of the fruit of the tree, death and sin entered into life. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15 says, do everything without complaining or arguing. Is that easy to do? It's not easy to do, is it? So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. That word crooked is the word from where we get scoliosis from, this curvature of the spine. It's someone who's walking the path. Ever had somebody walks the path and they see something off in the distance, they want to go see it, but there's no way of getting there, and they try to get their way through and down and over the boulders and down to the creek, and then they get stuck down there. That's what the word means, a deviation from the path. People who are heading on a course far away from God. And of course, like I said, our world is corrupt. And Romans 3, 10 through 18 tells us a little bit about the world that we live in. It says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands and no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. And then these words, there is no fear of God before their eyes. And this is why Jesus has called you and I to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world. And this world, as we know, is encased in spiritual darkness. And the depth of this darkness cannot be overlooked. For some of us, we walk down your hallway, you got your hallway light on, and when you enter a room, open the door, does the darkness boil out? What happens? The light from the hallway penetrates that room. But you know what? People don't want to see the light. They'd rather close the door and live in the darkness. Blind to God's word, blind to what would give them hope and life, and a life that is abundant, and that life is in Jesus Christ. They'd rather close the door and live in the darkness. And of course, in this room that they live in, this darkness they live in, there's a life that is of despair. There's a life that is of hopelessness, a life of helplessness and fearfulness for life. And everything in their life is affected by that darkness. And what I understand from when I read these passages that I read earlier, Jesus does not focus on these problems in great detail. Instead, he says to you and I that we are the light. We are the salt within that darkness, in the darkness of this world that we live in. And of course, the word he uses, he says, you. And this should alert us to our responsibilities to go into the darkness, confront the darkness with the light and the salt. People need to see Jesus in us. And I found it interesting that the words the salt and the light used here are verb words. Do you know what verbs are? What's a verb? Action word. It's a word that speaks of action, to doing something. We are to be the salt, to be the light. And also these words are in the present tense. They're happening at this very moment, and they're continuous. And that means the salt and light are not something we become. They are something we are. As Christians, we are both. But in order to be effective, we are to do things. We are to give the world a better taste of the salt. Do you like salt on your food? Yes. And to give light that draws sinners to the cross of Calvary. And all of us know that's a lot of work, but he has called us to that. And of course, earth and world, I've taken that down right down to here today. Each one of us, God has placed us to live in a certain place. Some of us, Hines Creek, Fairview, Blue Sky, I don't know where all do you live. That's your little world God has placed you to be the salt and the light. There are people in your communities who need to see and taste the salt. Our responsibilities are to live out our Christian life where God has placed us. Are you doing that today? Are you? Pretty hard in today's world, isn't it, considering we're locked down in some places and the restrictions? But we still need to be salt and light. Now, I'm going to focus now on salt. I'm going to pull away from both of them together. Light, Lord willing, maybe I'll do in another sermon later on. But I want to close with these words. Now, I have about half a dozen or so. I keep a journal of notes and things I've heard over the years. Write them down because they meant something to us. Power of being light. Jesus warns that believers live in dark times, not only in the world but within the church. Reminds all believers that because of him, we are lights wherever he has placed us so that we can do good deeds and reach the lost. May be the power against the darkness. Not for the believer's glory, but for whose glory? God's glory. And how can we carry on through these times? The answer is we can, as long as God is glorified in what we do, so that the light of Christ is seen by all, and they, even in the church, through tough times, hurtful times, that we would glorify God in all that we do and say. So now I want to look at more detail, look at salt. I want to look at the figure of the salt. It says, you are the salt of the earth. And throughout Scripture, if you were to go back to the Old Testament, especially into Leviticus, and you read about all of that in that book, about the offerings. And the writers talk about the quality of character. And God impressed upon his people, the Israelites, the value and quality of the sacrifices they were offering. In Leviticus 2:13, God said, season all your grain offerings with salt. Do not leave the salt out of the covenant of your God, out of your grain offerings. Add salt to everything, all your offerings. Salt was highly valued and associated with the essence of quality. Even today we speak of somebody's worth and usefulness. We say that person is what? The salt of the earth. What's the other one we say? That person is worth their what? their salt. These expressions are used to indicate how valuable they are. And spiritually speaking, the figure of salt represents a Christian who is spirit-filled and led by the Holy Spirit. He is the only one that can work through us, giving us the quality of life, which is salty and Christ-like in a dark, lost world. Now let's look at the purity of character. And Jesus spoke of the salt in connection with this whole area of purity. In verse 50 of Mark 9, it says, "Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with each other." And as Christians, we are to be known as our Lord and Savior. Is that correct? We are to be known as Him, harmless, undefiled, separated from the sins of this world, separated from the darkness, but we're to interact with it so we can reach those for Christ. Christ's life in us affects our personal life, our social life, our vocational life, our community life, and even our church life. And I'm going to look at a few of these. In our personal life, we interact with people every day, though limited with the restrictions we have. But what effect do you have on people today? You ever thought about that? Think about that for a moment. Is our social, in our social life, are people noticing that we do follow Christ? Are they watching us? Are they aware of who we serve, who we walk with? And are you a purifying influence? Or are people just saying, "Well, I want nothing to do with them"? In fact, in 2 Corinthians 2, we are to be a fragrance, a life-giving perfume to those who are perishing. God has called us to that. In our vocational life, are we honest with those that we deal with? I'm going to be straightforward with you guys today. Can I be honest? Can I be I've been in the business of construction for over 40-some years. This is hard to say. Did you know that my worst customers have been believers? I'd rather work for the most vilest guy in town than a Christian at times. Isn't that sad? I think as Christians, we have to be the most honest people, the most efficient people, so that we can be the salt in our worlds today. We are to work hard, be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed. We are to work cheerfully at what you are doing, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Whatever we do, wherever God has placed us, we are to be the salt. In our community life, our influence can have tremendous consequences for good. And what actions are you taking or I'm taking to better our community? What can we do during these times to better our community? Think of the impact that can be made. Everyone here was worth their salt. We're not asked to dispense salt, just sprinkle it around a bit like we do on a winter morning when we find there's ice on the sidewalk. But rather, we're to be the salt. And that little patch of ground God has given to you and has placed you. You're to be an anesthetic. You ever had salt on a wound? Does it hurt? Mm-hmm. It makes a grown man just about cry, doesn't it? All right. We're to be a preservative. And some of us know that. When I grew up, we canned everything to preserve it for the winter months to come. A sweetener. Ever ate food without salt? Kathy's mom was that way when she cooked. Never put salt on nothing. So when you went to the table to eat, you always took the salt shaker out really quickly and salted everything. Otherwise, it was pretty bland. This is the only answer to a decaying and evil and sinful world that is involved in darkness and the world that we live in. We have to dispense the salt. We have to be that preservative, that anesthetic. Jesus says we are the salt of the earth. And so have you checked your salt content lately? Have you? Something to think about, isn't it? Remember, an unbelieving world is watching and listening to all of us who know Jesus Christ. We got eyes on us constantly. And I'm going to tell you, there are times you'll screw up. I'm telling you that because I've done it. And I've had to apologize for what I've done because I offended someone. That's part of being salt, to be honest. Now let's look at the function of salt. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth." And the chief function of salt is to penetrate and affect everything that it touches. And the influence on our world be felt through our silent life. In verse 50 of Mark 9, it says, "Have salt in yourself and be at peace with each other." One of the characteristics of salt is that it works silently and at close quarters. It has to be in touch, in contact with the object it's with to serve its function. Some of us grew up in a time where you had to cure your meats. How many remember that? Put them in a big, wrap them in cheesecloth and put them in brine so you can store them for the winter. The salt had to be in contact in order to function, and it did it quietly. It penetrated deep. That's, of course, if salt maintains its flavor and its efficiency. And this is important because we should always be efficient in our witness. There are many times, sometimes, that our silence is preferred. Sometimes people just want to know and just listen to our presence, our quietness. Remember, just the right amount of salt brings oohs and ahs and compliments. And too much salt brings a negative response, yucks and expelling of the object. I remember friends of ours, they're Dutch. This was years ago. They gave us some candies, licorice candies. Some of you are already laughing. I remember the first day I took that, and I thought, oh, it's licorice. And, you know, like all of you, just like, I just went like this, because I thought it was licorice. Within 1 second, guess where that went? Yes, right. Out it went. All right? Yes. Too much salt. It's a... out it goes. Dutch licorice. And of course, I required a taste for it now, and I love it. But at first time, I was just spit it right out. So what kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian am I? Are we the strong, silent type, or the one that people go yuck at? Think about that for a moment. I got to get rid of this thing. It's like a little sword up here. I'm swinging it around. Yeah? I'm going to look at one area of life. And that is our speech life, because sometimes I struggle with that as well. So how do we live at peace with each other? Well, it's our speech, it's our words. Colossians 4:6, let your conversation be always full of what? Grace, and seasoned with what? Salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Strong, godly, silent life speaks of consistency, and it's revealed in our speech. And there's no place for ungodly speech in a Christian's life. Whether we're undergoing stress, difficulties, or injustice, in all circumstances, we are to make gracious speech a habit. I'm going to tell you, to work in the construction industry, and some of us work in the oil patch, some of the guys we work with and the people we work with, oh, man. I tell you, there's sometimes you let go once in a while on your speech. Sooner or later, our words will unmask the true condition of our hearts. If our hearts are filled with God's love, our words will be honest, encouraging, and wholesome. However, if our words are selfish, it tells us that our hearts are filled with deceit, criticism, and foulness. By our words, we will be known. Words are powerful instruments for good or for bad or for ill. We can use words in destructive ways, or we can use words to build each other up, encourage each other. In a world where words are often wielded as weapons, may we use our words as tools to build the hearts of others so that within us they will see our Savior. Salt stings when rubbed into a wound, and so can unwholesome speech. And I think this verse from Psalm should be planted in our hearts. It'd be something that we should memorize. Psalm 141:3 says, "Set a guard over my mouth, O Lord, keep a watch over the door of my lips." Now I want to look at service light, life. Salt loses itself in service to the object that is being salted or preserved, and we are to be peoples whose hearts are motivated in serving others. The world around us must experience and see this. Jesus says, you and I are to be the salt. Do you notice that? The salt of the earth. Our life is to be completely yielded in service and a daily sacrifice. It's a service as living, holy, and acceptable unto God. Remember, God has prepared you and I for works of service. And you just serve as if you're serving your Lord and Savior. Now I want to look at the failure of salt. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Two ways I think that it can be, that salt can lose its flavor, is through isolation. In Mark 9:50 it says, "Have salt in yourself and be at peace with each other." The opposite of these words, I think, is isolation. How can we peace at somebody if we have no contact with them? If salt is isolated, never used for a long time, it actually loses its strength and its flavor, and you've got to throw it out. And I think if we isolate ourselves from church and Christian fellowship and the means of grace, I think we will lose our saltiness. And I know it's difficult in these times. God has called us to a life of separation, but never to a life of isolation. Never. In John 17:15, Jesus says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." So in order for us here at Cornerstone and every Christian here to keep their saltiness, we must be together in fellowship. There must be times of getting together, and I know it's difficult. In Acts 2:42, we read that the church and believers of the early church continually steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers. We're challenged not to give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We are to meet, to gather, to strengthen each other, encourage each other. And there are many ways to cure isolation, and here are a few. Greet everyone you've seen. How many of you actually greeted somebody this week? I had an interesting incident this week. I was driving and come to the stop sign, and this older gentleman cut the corner a little too close. Got pretty close to my car, and he got really slow, and he looked at me. Ever had somebody look at you, and you just thought, my goodness, I'm dead? Just the way they looked, their face was so distorted. And I looked at him, had my window down, and I smiled, and I just said, "Hello, have a good day." I never seen somebody's eyes light up and somebody's countenance change. I don't know what I did. I just said, "Hello, have a good day." He figured I was going to yell at him because he ran into me. Greet somebody. Say hello to somebody. Strike up a conversation. Done that this week? Met somebody you never know, just started talking to them? Had somebody do that to me this week, kind of threw me off when they came and talked to me and we had a few moments just talking and interacting. How about visiting? I know there's restrictions. I have a friend who's a pastor. He's in Three Hills. And when this whole thing of COVID started, he started doing porch visits. So he'd go to his church members, and he'd knock on the door, and they would sit out on either side of the porch and visit. Go and visit. There's ways of doing it. Invite people over for fellowship. I think we're allowed to have some people over, are we not? It's wonderful when you finally get together and you sit down with brothers and sisters in Christ and have a time of fellowship. It just brings you great joy. How about giving a helping hand when someone needs it? There are people that need something that needs fixing. What are you handy at? What gifts have God given to you? I tell you right now, that hammer and that pouch has got me into more places than you could ever dream of. Places you can never get into. Never. And it's opened many, many doors. Young people, God's given you gifts. take them and use them for his glory. And I think another way that salt can lose its flavor is infiltration. If salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? The answer is, it can't. If we are Christians and we lose our saltiness, we allow the world and the desires and the wants and Satan to infiltrate our lives, and even we become saltless and stale. And that's even within the church too. And we allow that to take part. Many Christians have. And there's been tragic results. And many of them been disqualified in life and in service. And of course, in the days of Jesus, salt that lost its flavor was useless for land and or the dunghill. What's a dunghill? We used to have one outside the barn, big manure pile. Right? What a place to be cast aside and disqualified. Yet it happens over and over again. Question is, it should be asked, can such a Christian, or is it possible for them to be restored to the strength and fullness of the salt again? And what should the answer be? Yes. Think of the prodigal son. He had everything, didn't he? And he takes off, squanders everything, and decides to come home. And who's waiting for him? His father's waiting for him. Yes. Jesus is there to restore and give forgiveness for those of us who lost our saltiness. So I want to close. What a challenge this simple metaphor on the salt presents to us. But what about your life? Is it characterized by quality and purity? Is the salt of your life influencing others around you? Or have lost your flavor? Remember the words of Jesus. What are they? You are what? Let's say it together. You are the salt of the earth. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We are the salt and light where you have placed us. We are to be an influence, a preservative. We're to present you to those who are dying in their sins. Father, help us to see that people are watching us. Allow our walk to be holy so that people are drawn to you and the great gift you have given freely for all. In thy name, amen.